Unnecessary meetings are the bane of a salesperson's existence. If you want to know how you can avoid all these unnecessary meetings, well, you better stay tuned. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 40,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our prospecting download. Going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast. Feel free to visit a little page that I set up telling you all about it right now if you'd like. YourSalesPlayBook.com/huntbetter. So today we're going to be talking about unnecessary meetings, and it drives us absolutely batshit crazy when we find ourselves stuck in meetings when we could be out there kind of bringing home the proverbial bacon. But how do you get out of these meetings in a way that you're not being disrespectful or, you know, I don't know, maybe coming across as a bit of a dick, right? So how do we do that? Well, before I get into it, I want to throw something, an interesting study at you. And this study was conducted by the folks over at Doodle. And if you're not familiar with Doodle, they are an online calendar tool. Now, this isn't like a paid commercial for them or anything else. I have no affiliation with them. But I absolutely love the app. And they have a free version of it, by the way. And the reason why I love it, especially over the summer, when we're trying to coordinate schedules around vacations, we have multiple stakeholders, what you can do with this, and it saves a tremendous amount of time, is that if you want to try to schedule a meeting, you can have a few different times, right, as options. Send it out to the group. And then what'll happen is the group will kind of decide on a time that works best, right? So if you have a bunch of people saying 1 p.m. on Thursday, well, guess what? That's the time that works best for everyone, but it saves a lot of back and forth and a lot of time. So anyway, the folks at Doodle did a little bit of a study all about meetings. And you ready for this? You're going to want to hear this. Professionals attend, on average, 2 hours of pointless meetings each and every week. Now, if you want to have put a dollar amount to this, they want to step further, and they put a dollar amount to this. You ready? This costs corporations, businesses in general, $541 billion in resources each and every week. Year. I mean, this is really crazy. And I have to say something, and I really think that we're going to have an episode about this on the podcast. I've noticed over the last year that there have been a shit ton more of meetings, and I'm all about it. And sometimes, you know, I think it's great that, especially Zoom meetings, you have a lot of people working from the house. And I think what's happened is that you have a lot of people that initially saw the whole Zoom meeting thing as a bright, shiny object, kind of a new toy, just absolutely beat the hell out of it. And now what happens is that something that might have been a phone call turns into a Zoom meeting. And this whole concept of Zoom fatigue kicks in. I mean, not every meeting needs to be something, or every conversation needs to be a meeting, and certainly one with the camera on. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but in some cases, it's kind of, especially with other people now working from my home, it's, I find it could be a violation of people's privacy in my home. I mean, you know, in the past, I never had to worry about a camera being on and people walking through my office. I mean, I would be on the phone and people would walk through all the time. Or if I was downstairs and, you know, people walking through that area, whatever. Never had to worry about it. Plus, quite selfishly, I always don't want to have to be in a situation where I have to be on. And what I mean by that is, you know, I kind of miss the days when some of my early morning, say, coaching calls or whatever, I could just kind of have my, you know, my ratty t-shirt on, be unshaven, and just kind of, you know, more relaxed, kind of like that Sunday morning feel, right? Or maybe I don't want to have the, you know, the meeting in my office. Maybe I want to have it in the backyard, which I do all the time, but the backyard looks shitty. Or maybe my office looks kind of shitty, which right now kind of does look shitty. I got to be honest with you. So I'm going to be hearing from my wife probably on this, and she's not going to be a happy camper. But anyway, I digress. The point is, right, so you have that going on for the last year. But just in general, if you're in sales, you absolutely hate all the meetings that can be generated. So I have a really cool, simple thing that you can do. I want to let you guys know up front, I have ripped off this tactic from Tim Ferriss. He talks about it in the 4-Hour Work Week. And what he talks about doing, and again, I don't want you to dismiss this because of its simplicity. I'm here to tell you, I've been using this tactic now for about 14 years. And it has saved me just a ton of time. And I've been able to blow off meetings, again, without irritating people or coming across as disrespectful. So the first scenario that I want to throw at you, because I believe we have to kind of modify this a little, depending on who the person is requesting the meeting. I think one of the biggest sources of unnecessary meetings are coworkers and, dare I say, our boss. So what we need to, and by the way, just to make sure that I'm not picking on everybody's boss here, I bet you if I was hanging out with your boss right now, they'd say, no, not quite. You know, a lot of the sales reps want unnecessary meetings with me. Okay, so touche. Right? So we're all kind of guilty of unnecessary meetings. So generally speaking, these requests for these meetings don't really come at us in the form of a calendar invite. They might, but usually it's an email asking, hey, you know, can we meet for a little bit on Friday or whatever it is? So what you want to do is you want to reply to the email. Here's the tactic right now. You're going to reply to the email. You are not going to say yes. You're certainly not going to agree to the meeting. But what you're going to do is you're going to ask a question. And the question is going to be, and I want you to put this in your own words. I'm just giving you the gist of it, right? Kind of the flavor of the question. And you're going to respond with something like, you know, hey, well, so I can prepare for this meeting, what specifically did you want to address? Now, what I want you to be prepared for is that sometimes people, they're really slow on the uptake. They don't get the hint. They don't. Yeah, I think a lot of us are suffering from reading comprehension issues because we're dealing with so many emails. I mean, haven't you had that happen too? Where you're sending an email and somebody's asking a question. It's like, dude, it was right in the email I sent you. Like, maybe if you read it, you'd know, right? But I mean, you can't say that because then next thing you know, you're in HR and you know, people get shitty about that. But you know, be prepared for people kind of giving you a general answer. Well, you know, I just wanted to talk about, you know, this thing or whatever it is. Pin them down. And like, even to the point, again, we're going to have like a different tone when it's a coworker, it's your boss or whatever it is. And you could say, hey, could you be a little more specific? You know, what was it or what is it specifically about that thing with operations or about the TPS reports or whatever? Now, once you pin them down and they answer and they tell you what it is, you ready for this? You're simply going to either email them back or call them back with an answer to the question. And guess what? You just avoided a meeting without being a dick. Isn't that pretty cool if you think about it? Because you didn't get lippy with them. You didn't cop an attitude. You're being helpful. And you're simply saying, hey, look, so I can be prepared for this and I can address whatever it is on your mind. Maybe, you know, you could tell me specifically what it was, you know, what it is that you want to cover. Okay, no problem. Now they respond. Now you respond to that and you answer it or you pick up a phone and say, hey, I thought I could, you know, save a lot of time. You know, the answer that you're looking for is blah, 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 and blah, right? Nice and simple. Now, when it comes to clients, and prospects even, right? You can do the same thing. Now, prospects, well, actually, clients, we're going to do the same thing. But, you know, you just want to be very careful, more so with them, to have that answer readily available. And then call them first. Just like call them. Go. It looks like you're going the extra mile, and you really are. You're calling them. If they don't answer, then email the answer that they're looking for. Again, you know, you're doing it the same way. Hey, so I could be best prepared for this. What question did you have, or what did you want to address? And then, you know, pin them down on the specifics. Then call them. Okay, say they don't answer it. They don't answer the phone. No problem. Email the answer to them. But the key here, I think, more so than coworkers or your boss, not that I don't give a shit about coworkers or back when I had a boss, haven't had a boss for over 10 years now, you know, you're going to want to follow up and make sure, hey, you know, did I cover this adequately? Did I give you what you were looking for here? You want to make sure that they're happy. Again, our whole point here is not to be difficult or, you know, basically come across like, screw you, I don't want to meet with you. We don't even want to do that with our coworkers or our bosses. We just simply want to propose an alternative way of communication without saying no to the request. You see, we never once said, no, I don't want to meet with you. We're just simply saying, hey, what's on your mind? You would need to know that anyway if you're going to meet with somebody. And I also want to tell you, when it comes to coworkers and your boss, it's a really good practice to get into anyway. Even if you disagree with me right now and feel like you absolutely should meet with everybody that wants to have a meeting with you, the reason why you always want to find out what it is they want to address and what they want to cover is it really keeps you also from getting blindsided. I mean, how many times in our career have we walked into a meeting, we're like, holy shit, I never saw that coming, right? So you just really want to be able to be best prepared. Plus, I think it's a hallmark of a true professional to come prepared. And this allows you to come prepared. Now, there is one final category that can save you a lot of time, and it's going to sound like I'm being a hypocrite here. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me and let me do, in the words of the late, great Ricky Ricardo, and do a little splaining on this one. But a lot, if you're like me and on LinkedIn, you get a lot of people, pardon me, each and every week wanting to have a meeting with you. Now, here's the part, or, you know, kind of get to know each other. Now, here's the part where it's going to sound like, oh, wait a minute. Paul has been beating this concept of getting on the phone and having conversations with your network, and kind of, we always talk about the embarrassed email. And what the embarrassed email is we send this email out each and every week to, you know, a good 3 to 5 people in our network on LinkedIn, and just kind of say, hey, I'm embarrassed, you know, or hey, you know, we've been connected a while and I'm embarrassed. I've never once reached out to you to get to know you better. What do you say we change that? How's your schedule for this day or that day? And it's a great thing to do. Now, I'm not going back on what I said there. If somebody is reaching out to you to do that, and the spirit of that request is truly to get to know you better, then, you know, have the meeting. But the problem is, and seriously, I mean, you know, I'm really anxious. I'm going to give you guys my email address because I actually want you guys to weigh in on this and send me an email if this has happened to you. There's a lot of people who bullshit us into a sales pitch, and they do it under the guise of, yeah, I just want to reach out to you and talk to you. I love to talk to people in my network and get to know them. Next thing you know, you're knee deep in a sales pitch. Now, you know, for a sales trainer to say, hey, we shouldn't be allowing other people to give us a sales pitch when I teach people how to give a sales pitch, can sound rather effed up on the surface. But I actually teach something very, very different than every person you bump into getting, you know, being subjected to an annoying sales pitch. Certainly over on LinkedIn, I teach this concept of actually providing value first and actually getting to know them and creating propinquity, which you guys know is my favorite word in the whole wide world, which means nearness and closeness and kinship, and just kind of that familiarity that can be attained when you continually bump into someone, especially online, and every time you bump into them, it's a favorable experience and not an obnoxious experience. So, you know, how do we avoid and waste our time getting a pitch on something that, let's just say, we just don't have the time for or the need for? Or let's be honest, I've, in my early days on LinkedIn, I found myself in a conversation and somebody really didn't do their homework. If they had done their homework, they'd know that I had nothing to do with a decision on that particular solution, nor did I know anybody who would be involved in that. I had no clue at that point who would even be doing that. So a lot, they wasted their time as well. So what I do over on LinkedIn is I really do the same thing, and I just respond to them, and I just say, you know, was there something specific you wanted to discuss? And many times this brings the pitch to the surface. Well, I wanted to talk to you about your printing, right? Well, I wanted to talk to you about blah, 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 or this thing that we have for coaches or whatever. And right away, I can save everyone a lot of time because I can just kind of make a decision. Hey, do I really have the time to do that? I mean, do I want to get on the phone with them? I could even take a little time and look at their background a little bit better, do a quick search on them, look what kind of things they're posting, see if this is someone that could, you know, just appears like they could help me before I get on a phone call with them. But again, it also shows me if their intent is truly to get to know me and want to network. I'm all about that. I love doing that. But just like you guys, I don't want to get trapped into something. I don't like being fooled. I don't like deceptive practices. I certainly don't teach them. I don't want to be subjected to them. So I asked them, was there something specific you wanted to discuss? And again, if they answer in very general terms, I pin them down to see if it's something that seems more like a sales pitch, and then I'll kind of 9 out of 10 times blow it off or decide to have a conversation with them. But again, my thing is, I don't like it when somebody says they want to get to know me, and all of a sudden now I'm wasting half an hour with somebody that I could be putting somewhere else and saving them the time as well. So that's what I do. I mean, it's really that simple, folks. I mean, sometimes we dismiss things because of their simplicity. I'm here to tell you, I've been doing this now since 2007, I think it was. Maybe 2008, I read the book. Whenever it was, I first read the book by Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Workweek. And it's worked like a charm. Now, I want to throw something at you because I'm really big in letting people know just how much time you could possibly save. Now, first of all, that little study that the folks at Doodle did stated that the average person is engaged in 2 hours per week in unnecessary meetings. So what I want to do is I want to break this down into something that's, I don't know, maybe just more realistic for you. Maybe that 2 hours is realistic. Maybe it's more if you remember. They said average. So if you can free up and eliminate just 2 30-to-60-minute bullshit meetings a week that are completely unnecessary. I'm just talking about just 2 30-to-60-minute unnecessary meetings, and if you're able to just eliminate those each and every week, well, you've got 1 to 2 hours a week that you're freeing up. Now, at the end of a year, if you're just able to free up 2 30-minute meetings a week, you have 1.25 weeks that you've just liberated. Now, I'm going to tell you what to do with those in a second, but On the low end, it's 1.25 weeks. On the high end, you're freeing up 2.5 weeks. I always like to say this right about now, because when you're in the summertime, you think, because especially now, we just passed the halfway point of the year. We think we have all this time. And right now, I don't know, 1.25 weeks being freed up to 2.5 weeks may not seem like a lot. But if I were to ask you that same question, hey, would you like an extra 1.25 to 2.5 weeks for a year-end bonus or to qualify for President's Club? You bet your ass you would pounce on that. And I also think in terms of dollars and cents, if your boss called you into the office and said, I've got a bonus check for you for, you know, the equivalent of 1.25 weeks of your pay, or even 2.5 weeks of your pay, would you slide the check back across the table and say, you obviously need the money more than me, you cheap bastard? No, you take the money and you get the hell out of there. You know, you get your ass over to the bank and moonwalk into the bank and deposit it before, you know, they have a chance to change their mind. So this can really add up. So, you know, my suggestion to you would be this. There are a lot of things that can get in the way of you making money as a sales rep. And one of the things we would put in the category of time wasters. And I would certainly put unnecessary meetings in the category of time wasters. Now, whenever you free up and liberate time, if you don't do something with it, some other bullshit activity usually takes the place of the other bullshit activity. And what happens is you really don't move forward and you don't feel the impact of that change. So what you always want to do is you always want to be mindful of the three drivers of sales success. The first driver is acquiring new business, right? New account acquisition. The second driver is retention and growing your accounts, right? That kind of, you know, like, actually, you know, retention and wowing. I'm sorry. I kind of gave away the third one. It's actually kind of late right now for me. You guys wouldn't know that, but I'm just using that as an excuse for that stupidity that you guys just witnessed. So again, let's do a do-over, and I'm not editing this out because life doesn't work that way. And that's a big time waster for me, see? I practice what I preach. So the first driver of sales success, actually acquiring new business. The second one is you got to keep that business and ultimately wow that customer. And the third one is account development and expanding that account maybe into other locations, other product lines and services and upselling and all that kind of fun stuff. Now, whenever you free up time, what you want to do is spend more time on the things that actually impact your results, which are those three drivers. So if you're able to free up 1.25 to 2.5 weeks a year by blowing off 1 to 2 unnecessary meetings each and every week, then you want to take that time and put it into the three drivers, right? You want to spend now some of that time hunting new business and retaining and wowing existing clients, and certainly spending time with them growing that business. You see, that's how you make an impact on your business. So I'm hoping this tip was helpful. And I have to tell you, like all the other tips that I give you, it's completely useless until you do something with it. Don't ever, seriously, my best advice to you when it comes to podcasts, especially mine, because if you notice, I don't have a co-host and we're doing all kinds of little, you know, cute bantering and shit like that and trying to entertain you. I just kind of give you the down and dirty sales tip. You know, don't listen to these things as, especially again with mine, as entertainment. There's other things that are more entertaining. I'm certainly not that entertaining, at least, you know, I don't think I'm that entertaining. I mean, use what you're taught here and go out there and apply it. Because to me, in sales, we've got to look at it like it's one big laboratory, and we're in this constant state of experimentation. First of all, that keeps it exciting, and it keeps us from getting bored and doing the same old shit each and every day and thinking we're going to get a different result. And this is how you grow, by trying different things. So certainly take this one into the laboratory, put on your lab coat, man, get out there, give it a shot, and hopefully it'll work out really, really well. But before you go, I just want to let you know there's still time to download a special prospecting resource that I prepared for you. Now, in the prospecting resource, we cover the phone. We cover emails, specifically with the emails. How do you get them open? Like, how do you get people to open the damn email? And that is one of the biggest problems with emails, by the way. 79 to 82% of them, according to Constant Contact and MailChimp, aren't even opened, which kind of sucks, right? So people aren't even hearing us out. So getting these emails opened, read, and responded to, right? That's ultimately what we want to do. We also talk about creative prospecting tactics. I think more than ever, using creativity in your prospecting is important. Why? Because it enables you to stand out from the masses. I'm here to tell you that the average decision maker that you're dealing with, the average buyer that you are trying to get in front of, to them, we all sound the same. What can you do to stand out in a way that's tasteful, but yet makes an impact? That's one of the things that we're going to cover as well. And then, of course, I've got an incredible amount of templates, scripts, bonus PDFs, and I actually left something out. Not only are we going to be talking about the phone, emails, creative prospecting tactics, but we're going to talk about how you put this all together into a cadence. Because the other mistake a lot of sales reps make is that they really haven't planned out a communication map, if you will, for their prospecting. Most of the time, an alert goes off in Salesforce or whatever their CRM is, and as their hand is going for the phone or the fingers are going to the keyboard, they decide right then and then what's going to be said. And that's how you really lose out on opportunities. Why? Because premeditated communication and having a plan is certainly going to be more impactful. So if you'd like to learn more about this program, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to my free sales tips. Once again, I'm not editing shit here. I'm leaving it in for all the world to hear. Subscribe to my free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.